morning, everyone. I want to welcome you all to our morning service, which is a youth service this morning. This past week, all our youth organizations have got started up again, and it seems an appropriate time for a youth service. We're delighted to have our young people taking part and leading the praise, and they'll be taking part also later on. But a warm welcome to you all. And can I say there's a cup of tea or coffee for anyone that wants to wait behind in the meet and greet area there immediately after the service. Please remember our evening service this evening. It's here in our own meeting house here. We're continuing our study of the book of Joshua. We'll be looking at Joshua chapter 2 tonight. Youth fellowship meet in the Slemish suite after the evening service, and the evening prayer cell from 8 to 9 with Sarah, and I have no idea where they're meeting actually. They'll be meeting somewhere on the premises. There are some prayer leaflets that I want to draw to your attention. There's one from Ian and Claire. There's one from Rachel Shepherd of Scripture Union. There's also one from, I thought I'd all these labelled. I haven't that one labelled. I think, yes, that is from Claire. She was Claire McIntyre, Claire and Amir. And also one from Release International. And from Peter and Vary Fleck. And those are available where? Are they in the vestibule? In the foyer area? I'm trying to find Robert. See, the problem is I don't know where anybody sits anymore. Robert, where are they? Down below. Okay, they'll be out there in the meet and greet area, I'm sure. So please take those and use them in your quiet time. Then there's a harvest service, the Cray Harvest Service in the Cray Hall this evening at 8 o'clock. And the speaker there is the Reverend Brian Smith, and a warm welcome awaits you there. That's at 8 o'clock. Then I have an announcement here from Nettie McBride, and the young people will all know who Nettie is. She looks after our students who go away to university. So she's looking some information over the next two Sundays. Any students who finish their university or college course, would they please let Nettie know? Will students who have changed their address this year also inform Nettie? Will new students please give her their home or university college address and their home telephone number? And first year students who are studying at home and travelling, will they also let Nettie have your details? And Nettie's telephone number, well, it'll be on the announcement sheet next Sunday. So if you could convey that information to Nettie, that would be a great help. Then it is with deep regret that we have a couple of deaths to announce. The first one is of Mrs. Nan Gillespie of Balnafy Road, who died on Friday. The funeral is this afternoon at 2:30 from her home to the burying ground at the old meeting house. And then yesterday morning, Mrs. Hazel Hood passed away, and her funeral is tomorrow at 2:30 here in this meeting house, and then up to the burying ground. And that funeral is at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. And we commend both of those families to the Lord in prayer at this time. I want to just say that the Hood family and the Kernaghan family have made it clear that they wanted this youth service to go ahead. We wondered about whether we should do that today, but it was their firm wish that we go ahead with this youth service today, and that's why it's taking place today. So we commend both those families to your prayers. Now, the youth choir are going to sing Amazing Grace. now we all have the opportunity to sing praise to God using the piece entitled Praises Rising. And I assume that's the first line of it. Everyone know it's not. Praises Rising, that looks like it. Eyes are turning to you. Okay, we'll stand to praise God.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for another new day. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have here this morning to come together and worship you. Thank you for these new buildings and for all of your work that has been done here so far. We pray that you would open people's hearts this morning and they would really hear what you have to say to them. We pray also that you would bless all the people taking part in this service today and take away any nerves or fears that they may have. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Sam. Now, our Bible reading is from Luke 14, from verses 15 to 24. And if you haven't a Bible with you, there's a Bible in the pew. And I haven't looked up to see what the page number is, but if you give me a second, I'll do that. Luke 14, and it's page 1048, I think. And Amy Graham is going to come and read for us.
Starting at verse 1. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 oxen and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out and quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'when what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you not, one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'"
Thank you, Amy. Now, a couple of our young people are going to be going out from us to do some work for the Lord, one of whom is Amy and the other is Rebecca. Where are you, Rebecca? If you would come up to the pulpit here, if you can find your way up. And try not to be taller than me, Amy. If you take your shoes off, you wouldn't look nearly as tall. Anyway, I should have brought my high heels. So I should. Anyway, first of all, tell us what you're going to be doing. We'll start with you, Rebecca. Just for you, it's going to be the next year. And come to the microphone and speak up, because see if they don't hear what you say. Might as well not be here.
Okay. This year I am doing the Coaching for Christ Training Academy in Hoggle, and it's from September through to August.
Okay, so that's for the next year. And Amy, you're going to be going a little further than a Hoggle.
Well, this October I'm going to India with my school, so there's a team of 13 of us going out with the work of Asha.
Okay. Now, many of us are familiar with the work of Asha because we have had people come to speak at our midweek and our men's fellowship, remember? I can tell you that is no holiday. I assume you have seen some of the clips. Tell them where you're going to be working, specifically in Delhi.
Well, we're going into a slum in New Delhi. So we'll be working mainly in a community centre where children will come each day, and there's 4 sub-teams. I'm in the arts and crafts team, there's a medias team, there's a sports and games team, and there's a teaching team. So each day we'll be working in the slums and then also going in to visit families in their houses.
Okay, so really the high heels won't be much use to you. Sure they're not. But you think Are you prepared for that, Amy? What the sights? I think sometimes when we see slides, we see it, but it doesn't convey the smells. It doesn't convey, really, it's very two-dimensional. You think you're ready to face this?
Well, it'll be very challenging because obviously it's India and I've never been before. So it'll be a big cultural shock. So just getting adjusted to that. And then also seeing like the amount of poverty in the country and seeing how much we take for granted and how little they have and how much they appreciate it. So just getting used to that and adapting. So.
And that'll be a great education for you. It definitely will. And you're going for how long?
Going for 10 to 12 days. Sorry.
Okay. Rebecca, come now. And let me tell you, she's going for Coaching for Christ and she is a great wee footballer. And I mean that. Absolutely superb. I did play with her when she was a bit smaller and she took lumps out of me. But a super wee footballer. But of course it's not all about football. It's using football as a means for what?
Well, we're using football as a tool to spread the gospel to children. And we have wee development centres from the ages of P3 up to first years, and we use it and we bring them in to training, and then we'll halfway through training we'll give them like a wee 15-20 minute talk, and then we'll let them play matches at the end of it. And it's just to be able to spread the gospel to children, because a lot of children, even in a hoggle, you just take for granted that they've heard it all, and it's shocking actually how many of them haven't heard anything about Jesus.
And of course, the year isn't going to be spent just playing football, Rebecca. Sure it's not. There's the academy. Tell us a wee bit about it. That's not Ballymena Academy, by the way.
Well, in the academy, we're being trained up in like how to coach, because that is what we're doing. And then we're also being taught like how to give Bible study or Bible talks to children, and like how to address it for them so that they'll understand, and how to effectively give, like, spread the gospel to them.
Okay. Maybe Rebecca, would you give us a couple of prayer requests that you would have so that we could remember during this incoming year?
Yep. Well, my first prayer request would be that the kids are ultimately coming to Coach for Christ to play football, because that's what we want to do. They're not coming to hear the gospel. But we just pray that even though that's not what they want to be there for, that what they hear, they will take and they will think about it. And the second prayer request would be for all of us doing the training academy, because it's going to be like a really tough year, and that we would just like come closer to God.
Amy, a couple of prayer requests from you.
Yeah. Can I ask that you pray for safety while we're out there, as like I've heard about the crazy taxi drivers and stuff, you know. I pray for health because of like the dodgy foods and stuff, you never know, so that cannot be off your feet for a while. And then pray for like just to bond with the children and to start up relationships, and that the language barrier doesn't get in the way too much.
Well, look, just thank you very much for coming up to do that. Just before you go down, we're just going to commit you both to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord our God, we want to praise you and thank you for what you've done in the lives of these young women. We thank you for the homes that they come from. We thank you, our God, for every good and godly influence that's been brought to bear upon their lives. We thank you most of all that in mercy you made yourself known to them and drew them to yourself and saved them by your grace. And we thank you that you have put within their hearts a desire to serve you. And we pray for them, Lord, as they seek to serve you. We pray for Amy as soon she'll be going off to Delhi. And Lord, we can't begin to imagine what the conditions will be like there. But we thank you for the tremendous work that Dr. Martin is doing there and has been doing for years. And we thank you for the wonderful beacon of light and hope that there is in those slums through that work. And we pray for the team that will be going from Ballymena Academy. We pray for safety and travel. We pray, Lord, for good health while they're there, that they'll be able to do the work that they're there to do and keep well when they're doing it. We pray that they'll endear themselves to the young people that they work with and the young people to them. And Father, we pray that this will just be one of many teams that's going out there to those slums, that through the work of these teams, that a work for time and eternity will be accomplished. And we pray that you'll bring them all back safely. We remember Rebecca, Lord, and we pray for her, and hers is more longer term, for a whole year. She'll be doing this work with children in the whole area. We thank you for the opportunities that you'll give her to share the gospel with boys and girls. We pray for her, Lord, that you'll help her in her studies in the academy. We pray that you'll help her to give of her best. We pray that you'll provide for all her needs. And God, we pray that both these young women would benefit spiritually from the experience that they're about to experience. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would draw near and enable and equip them to do the work that you've called them to do. Lord, we commit the work of the Coaching for Christ Academy to you. We pray for Stephen Crawford and for Alan Dundas and the work that they're doing and the team of lecturers that he has in that academy. And we pray, God, that there'll be rejoicing in heaven over boys and girls who have put their trust in Christ through the work of Coaching for Christ or through the work in the slums in Delhi. But Lord, ultimately, we pray that all the praise and all the glory will return to your great name, because it's in your name we ask it. Amen. Now the congregation, we're going to sing the praise, "Our God is a Great Big God." Is going to come and lead us in our prayer of intercession.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the sovereign God who is in control of the world. We thank you that nothing is out of your control and your plan. As we talk to you, we want to thank you that you already know what is on our hearts and on our minds. We thank you that you are not just a God of all knowledge, but a God who has compassion on his people and understands all that we feel. You are not a distant God, but one who dwells within and goes before us. Lord, you know how we are feeling today. As a group of people, we lift up the Hood and Crittenden family to you. You know their heartache, worries, grief and loss. But we thank you that we do not grieve like those who have no hope, because we know that Hazel's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that she is with you right now, in your safe arms, singing your praise forevermore. We thank you that she is in a place with no more suffering, with no tears, but only joy and beautiful life in your presence. Lord, we thank you so much for saving her and for the faith she had in you. Lord God, we think of those who Hazel's left behind. Our hearts break for Richard. May you be his refuge and shield him. Hold his heart together in your hands and give him the strength that he needs to face these next few days. May he find comfort, rest and peace in you and in the promises of your word. Never leave him or forsake him in the years that lie ahead. On the most difficult and darkest days, be everything to him and carry him through. Hazel's children, Lord, we pray for Rebecca and Megan. Bless these two little girls abundantly. May they have the same salvation that their wonderful mother had. Protect them and love them. Provide mother figures in their lives, and please enable those who are in that position to care for them as Hazel would have. Help the family to be strong for the girls. May they find safety and comfort in the arms of their daddy as you embrace them all with your goodness and love. We also want to pray for George and Margaret. We thank you for the Christian upbringing that they gave their daughters and for the support and love they continue to give them. May you give George and Margaret all the support and love that they need and much more. Please be with Tracy, Julie and Holly also. Help them tomorrow and in the days ahead. We ask that they will find solace in you. Look after their families too. Help them to cope with the sadness that losing someone so dear brings. And Lord Jesus, be with Richard's family too. May their trust in you grow rather than be shaken. Be the solid rock on whom they can depend for their every need. We remember William and Ray. Help them as they cope with this tragic loss and as they care for their son and grandchildren. We also ask that you will give wisdom and words to Mr. Kirk, Ross and Dean as they minister to the family through this very difficult and devastating time. Be with the Gillespie family today. Be the God of all comfort to them and help them through as they get over this sad loss. Lord, forgive us when we doubt you or question your ways. Help us to trust in the promise that your ways are greater than ours. We leave the whole situation before you and trust that you will answer our prayers and that these families will know your presence more than they have ever done before. We thank you that Jesus is risen and that there is power in his name. So in Jesus' almighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Amy, very much. Now, we continue to worship the Lord as we bring to him our morning offering. And during the taking up of the offering, the choir are going to sing Mighty to Save.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come and worship you without let or hindrance. Thank you for the freedom that we enjoy. Thank you for the abundance of good things that you've given to us throughout our lives, for the health and strength that we enjoy, for our homes and our families, and for the wherewithal to feed our families. And Lord, we bring you these gifts and pray that you'll use them for the extension of your kingdom here at home and to the very ends of the earth. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Just before we sing our next congregational praise, I should have mentioned on Wednesday at 10 a.m., the Illuminate Women's Bible Study until 10:45, and also Cup of First on Wednesday morning. Just want to draw your attention to that announcement in the announcement sheet. Now, let's continue to worship the Lord. Before Ross comes to speak to us, we're going to sing the piece entitled Jesus, All for Jesus.
Jesus, all for Jesus. it's great that it's difficult to fit all our young people onto the stage. Can I ask the young people if they would like to come forward as well to the front pews here, and I'm going to come down and join you. Just get sit and bid it again before I made the mistake this week of buying a new sit and all the pockets are still stitched shut. I should have checked that out first before I came this morning, but anyhow. This morning in our service, Amy kindly read a portion of scripture from the book of Luke. It's the parable of the great banquet. I preached in this subject away last year in another church about the three excuses. And my introduction to the sermon was this, that no man or woman in their right mind would buy a piece of land or some oxen without going to test them out first. And any man who's been married for any length of time, in my opinion, always looks for an excuse to get away from his wife for the evening. So I didn't really believe that either. So these were just excuses that people have been offering in order to try and get out of going to the banquet. And so this morning, I want to tell you a story. About the balloon man. Okay, so the balloon man, everywhere he went, he had balloons. He worked in his office, and his colleagues were used to seeing his balloons floating above his desk. And even when he lay down to sleep at night, the balloons floated above his bed. The man had held on to his balloons for many, many years. He wouldn't let go of the balloons in his hand for any reason. One day, the balloon man went to a fair. And of course, he fit it right in at the fair. And people kept trying to buy his balloons off him. But the balloon man wouldn't let go of them. And whilst at the fair, the balloon man entered a competition for the opportunity to win a free cruise. He thought to himself, I might as well give it a go. Me and my balloons could do with a holiday. A couple of weeks later, an envelope arrived through the door. And lo and behold, the man had won a 2-week trip on a cruise ship. So him and his balloons got all packed up. They went onto the cruise, and people even carried his luggage to his stateroom. It wasn't just any ordinary cabin that he was staying in. He was staying in the deluxe cabin. And so he was standing on the side of the ship waiting to push off. And of course, there were balloons everywhere, and there was confetti. There was confetti everywhere. And so the man, he really felt at home, him and his balloons. But whilst other people on the cruise ship were letting their balloons fly into the air, he was determined not to let go of his balloons. But he went down, he was feeling tired, the sea air was making him a bit sleepy. And so he decided he would go down and have a lie down in his stateroom. But there was a problem, because the person who had designed the ship didn't take into consideration that this man was going to come with his balloons. and so he wasn't able to fit through the gangway. And the man didn't want to let go of his balloons. So he went upstairs and he found a deck chair and some blankets, and he lay down and had a sleep. The time passed, and the chef on the ship was the creme de la creme. And so at dinner time, he was going to make his way to the restaurant. But he ran into another problem. The gangways to the restaurant were also too small, and the balloon man couldn't fit in with all his balloons. And he wasn't willing to let go of the balloons. He held on tightly to them. So he had saw earlier on in the third deck of the ship that there were some crackers and some cheese. So he went onto the third deck, had his crackers and cheese, went back to his deck chair, and then lay down and slept. This had continued for several days. On the fourth day, he received an engraved envelope with a special invitation inside it. It was an invitation from the captain of the ship. The captain had invited him to sit at his table and eat the same food as he was going to eat. But this left the man with a problem. He already knew from earlier on in the day, or from earlier on in the week rather, that he was unable to go through the passageways of the ship. How on earth was he going to get to the captain's table with him and his balloons? So he walked along to the end of the ship, and he was thinking about it. And he realized that if he wanted to go to the king's or the captain's table, he was going to have to let go of his balloons. I'm not going to let go of my balloons because we'd never get them back. But one by one, he let the balloons go and he watched them disappear into the sky. And at last, he was free from the burden of the balloons, and he was able to go and enjoy the feast at the captain's table. He was able to go and enjoy his deluxe cabin. He was able to enjoy the rest of his holidays. But you know something? This speaks to me today about people in our church, people in our families. We go through life holding on to things that are not necessary, just like the balloon man. We're content to go through life holding on to our sin rather than giving our lives over to the King of Kings. I want to ask you today, what is stopping you from coming to the throne of grace? Maybe it's a sin that you like to hold on to. I don't know what that sin is this evening. Maybe you're a businessman who is indulging in corrupt business practices. And you know that if you become a Christian, you're going to have to give these things up. Maybe you're involved in things such as gambling that you know you would have to give up if you give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're worried about the friends that you have. You're so concerned with being popular that it's stopping you from coming to the throne of grace because you're worried about what your friends will say. Maybe you think that the Christian life is too boring and therefore it's stopping you from coming to the throne of grace. Last Saturday evening, we had a rock event. We had three big inflatables parked out round the sides of the church. I was on those inflatables as well. And I can tell you that the Christian life is anything but boring. We've just heard this morning about how two people, one's going to India, another is going out with Coaching for Christ. They're having these great opportunities to serve God, to show their faith. I don't know what's stopping you this morning from coming to God. But this morning you have a decision to make. You have to decide before you leave this church today whether you're going to give your life to God or you're going to turn your back on Him. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Last night, I spoke with George and Margaret, and the last thing that George said to me was, use Hazel. And so I want to read from Scripture this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. No one knows from one day to the next whether they're going to be on this earth. God has a perfect plan for each one of us. He knows when we were born, and He knows when we will go to return to eternity. Benjamin Franklin says, do not put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Every time I went up to Hazel, sometimes there was tears shed, but mostly there was laughter because she had a joy and a passion for the Lord. And it says in Psalm 39, verse 7, but now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. I want to ask you this morning where your hope is. Do you put your hope in the things of the world, or do you trust Almighty God? But you know, this also says something else to me about those of us who are Christians. We are challenged by God to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ on this earth. And so I want to ask you another question this morning. You see, whenever you join a congregation, you're never sure what you're going to get. And better yet, the Reverend Kirk and Mrs. Kirk probably weren't sure what they were going to get whenever they assigned an assistant minister. But this past week has been a trying week for me personally with everything that's been going on. On Friday morning, or Friday afternoon rather, I went up to see Eddie to talk to him. And Jenny answered the door. Now, she could have told me to go away again because it's not really her responsibility to be mentoring me in my assistantship. And even though she was busy, she was about to head out of the house for an appointment, she took the time to talk with me. And on Friday evening, I went over to the manse. I had many questions. and the Reverend Kirk took time out of his busy day to talk to me about the things that were going on in my life, questions that I had about my ministry. I'm only using them two as examples. There have been many more folk in First of Hockel, and you know who you are this morning. There's a house I frequent quite frequently where I can go and have a moan and a prayer time. And those people have been very good to me. There are other people who have been as equally good to me. My wife and I have felt so welcomed in this congregation. But there is so much more we can do as a congregation if you would take up the cross. So I want to leave you with one final thought this morning. What is stopping you this morning from actively getting involved in the life and work of this congregation? What obstacles are you putting before God that is stopping you from fulfilling your God-given purpose, which is to honor and serve the Lord with all of your being? I know not everybody is gifted to stand at the front. Believe you me, there are some days where even I wonder, well, or I'm gifted enough to be standing at the front of church. But we can all be praying. There's not a reason here why everybody here this morning can't be at a midweek meeting on a Wednesday evening. I know all of you have gifts. We're starting up so many new ministries. Cup of First, Eliminate, the Youth Club. We also have The Rock. We need people to man the car parks, especially whenever I drive in. We need people to serve teas and coffees at these events. We need people just to be on the premises to offer a welcoming comment or to extend a hand of friendship. So I want you to ask yourself this morning, what balloons are you putting in the way of coming to Christ? And what balloons are you putting in God's way that is stopping you from fulfilling your God-given purpose to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? We're now going to stand to sing our final hymn, which is Amazing Grace. And we're going to be singing it to the new, not Amazing Grace, sorry, The Lord is My Shepherd. And we're singing it to the new chorus. If the youth people would like to come back up again to lead our worship.
Jesus.
of the young people, I just want to say thank you to them for leading our worship this morning and doing such a fantastic job. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to lead worship this morning. Let us pray. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.